You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Thank you. How are you going this morning? So great to be here with you. And we'll finish some music. Cheers, bro. Thank you. I feel like Ben, I've known Ben for a few years now. He does a spot for us on breakfast. And he's a fantastic guy. He's full of beans. He's told me how great this church is, and now I've been here, I can believe it. How good is this, eh? How good is it? It is a little hard to see you. But, yeah, my name's Paul Morris. I just introduced my band. This is Steve on bass, Sheridan on vocals, Ben on drums, Jamie on vocals, Jeff on guitar, and Andrew on keys. Put your hands together. They're a great bunch of guys. And we've been doing this for just over 12 months, just visiting churches every month and just encouraging them. And who's got a real passion to see Jesus come to this city? Yeah? Oh, yeah. I can tell. I can feel it in this. You guys are so beautifully placed here in Leadable. How awesome is that? So much goes on in this area. And I really pray and hope that you guys would continue to build a vibrant church that would attract people. I'm just going to share this morning. I didn't bring a slide, but I'm going to try and read to you from John chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, John chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. That aircon was rowdy, wasn't it long? Hey? Got it off. Are we going to cook now or not? Well, if you start cooking or fall asleep, it's too hot, let us know and we'll crank it back up, hey? Okay. We going all right? Good. Okay, now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing, gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." I'm going to finish it there, but it goes on. Jesus highlights that she's got some struggles in her life, and they begin to talk about worshipping on that mountain. And the people know that passage well. I just want to highlight three things that I'm reminded of when I read that scripture today. And the first one is this: everyone is spiritual. Everyone is spiritual. One of the first things you learn when you go to Bible college is that we are made in the image of God, yeah? And now, God is not a big, big old man on a throne with a long white beard. God is a spirit being, okay? So if we're made in his image, it's not the image, the human form that we take. This is just our earth suit. It is our spirit. We're made in the image of God because we are spiritual beings. But Paul writes that we're dead in Christ, until obviously we're born again. And I don't know if anyone here, I'm a farm boy, if anyone knows what a grain of wheat looks like, or a grain of oats or barley, just a seed of a cereal grain. Growing up on the farm, we'd harvest this stuff every year and you'd put it in a shed and store it. And sometimes you wouldn't use that seed for years. It would stay in the shed, and if you could keep the rats and the weevils out of it, it would stay fine in the shed for years. 10 years a seed can stay, and it essentially looks like it's dead, right? It is dead. It's not alive. It's dried out. You harvest it. It's literally dead. But you put that thing in the ground, add water, and what happens? Comes to life. We are like that. We are, in essence, God has made us spiritual beings, like a seed, right? And when we add the living water of Jesus Christ, we come alive. Everyone is spiritual. And I really believe it's to the detriment of our country, and that as we become more and more secular, that we deny our spirituality, because it's actually the most important part of who we are. The most important part of you and I is the fact that we're spiritual, and everybody out there that you know, that you love, that may be found or lost, they are all spiritual. So don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Secondly, everyone is thirsty. I love it here. Even Jesus goes to this place and he asks this water. He took on the fullness of man. He was God in the form of the flesh as a man. And he went to the well and he asked for a drink. Everyone is thirsty. And, you know, you've only got to look around our city and see that, you know, we're one of the leading cities in Australia taking drugs and methamphetamines, to know that people are looking for something. Yeah? People are thirsty. Everybody is thirsty. And we're longing for a drink. Australians are great drinkers, aren't they? We drink every year from the Melbourne Cup right through to Australia, don't we? Don't stop. And there's a great quote I love by a Scottish author. It says, even the young man who rings the doorbell at the brothel is subconsciously searching for God. There is an emptiness that people will have their whole lives until they find the love of the Father, as we sang about this morning. Yeah? Everybody is spiritual. Everyone is thirsty. But everyone is broken. Yeah? Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That includes me. I'm the most broken dude here, I can tell you that. I'm a broken man, and without the grace of God, I'd stand here as nothing today, I can tell you. But we are all broken, and we're all in need of a Saviour, and someone like Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Know that nursery rhyme? Who could put Humpty together again? The king, not the king's horses, the king's men, only the king. And I really believe without the king, the pieces of our lives are just going to be exactly that, pieces. I've been doing breakfast radio now for nearly 7 years. And every day, one of the first things we do when we start there in the studio is we open up the news feeds just to see what kind of stories have broken overnight. And someone once said to me, the news is Satan's Facebook feed. And I could tell you, I agree with that, because every day there'll be news of a war, or news of disease or sickness, or someone murdering someone, or breakdown in our, or politicians fighting it out, or things that are broken and not working. And honestly, it can, you know, one of our jobs at 98.5, we're trying to bring the good news and bring hope and not drag and not remind everyone every day of all the things that could be going wrong with the world. And you can look at that and see in that thirstiness, that brokenness of humanity, and it can at times feel overwhelming, and you know we can, without God, we can look at it and feel overcome by the brokenness. But you know, this is what I choose to believe and keep believing. I'm reminded of it's just how we look at it, because I love this great story of these two shoe salesmen that were sent to India to sell shoes. And they get over there, and one of them writes back to his boss and he says, look, I'm looking around this place everywhere I go. There's no point in me even being here. Don't bother sending any shoes. Nobody wears shoes, all right? It's pointless. The other guy, he looks around, he writes back, he says, ship me every shoe you've got, send all the shoes. Nobody's wearing shoes, right? There's an opportunity here, yeah? And we can look at the world, we can look at the brokenness, We can look at, and we can either go, oh God, it's too much, there's no hope. Or we can go, look how thirsty. Look how everyone is longing to feel that thing. And look at the destructive things they're doing in that quest and that thirst and that search for the love of God. And I truly believe that is what we have in Jesus. We have that. But there's so many people, like Tim prayed this morning in that prayer, there's so many people out there that don't have it. So many people that are looking to fill themselves with all the wrong stuff. Yeah? Thirsting and trying to, I guess, create an identity out of broken things. And yet we, here we are today, we have the love of God and the truth. We're going to sing a bunch of songs this morning. I'm going to do that awkward transition where I pick up my guitar, so excuse me. That's always fun. This is a song I wrote. It's called Crazy Days. And I kind of wrote it when I was doing breakfast radio and, like I say, seeing all these things and thinking how crazy the world really is. But there's an author called Solzhenitsyn, and he has this quote, and he says, the line dividing good and evil, it doesn't run between countries, or it's not a border between nations, but it runs through every human heart. And at the end of the day, we can look out there and say, why doesn't somebody do something? Looks like the world's gone mad. But it's up to you and me and the choices we make in our everyday. And like we did earlier, we come before God and we say, I need you. I worship you because it starts with me. Right in my heart, I need you, God, more than I need anything. So it goes like this. Take this road with twists and turns. Sometimes we get our fingers burned. We try to touch the great unknown and still can't find the one way home. No. Have those days I won't pretend. I need some skin, I need a friend. Wishing I could make you see how much I want you here with me. Yeah. Hey, yeah, these crazy days, since everyone has lost their way. Oh Lord, what are we gonna do? 'Cause all I know is that I need you. Those who love me, show me why. There's something sticking out my eye. It's hard to change these things I find when my own pride, it keeps me blind. They might say it's give and take. Someday something's bound to break. It'd be your heart, not if but when. Or help. There's a song called Pieces, and it's just about something similar. The fact that, you know, we're all in bits and pieces, and only God can put us together. So. Feel like I'm a jigsaw puzzle waiting on a tabletop, hoping someone comes along, turns these pieces into one. Seems that nobody's got the box. Feel like I'm a chocolate block and everybody wants a piece, when all I want to do is keep a little bit for you. I guess I'll give the rest away for free. Take all the pieces of me, make me into something beautiful. Take all the pieces of me, make me into something beautiful. Chocolate block, I'm just another hungry soul, hoping somehow you can make up for all the missing pieces, turn me into someone whole. Chocolate, yeah. What is it? Rum and raisin? Old Gold? Anyone? No. No snack. You don't like the gooey stuff? Pineapple snack. Fruit and nut. Yeah, I'm on that. Fruit and almond. Very good. Anyone relate? You know, feel like there's pieces of you at times, and God is the one that pieces us back together. And you know, I love there's a verse in there, in that passage in John 4, verse 10. And Jesus, in the New Living, it says, if only you knew. He says to the woman, if only you knew who it was that you asked, that you spoke to. And when you think back now, here we are 2,000 years later in hindsight, and that was actually the Son of God there with this woman at a well. Pretty powerful moment, isn't it, really? You think if that was one of us and we knew that. She didn't know. She was ignorant to who he was. And it wasn't her fault. But she was unaware of who Jesus was. And I think from where I stand, if people knew the Jesus that I know, everyone would love him. You know what I'm saying? But the world is ignorant. The world is ignorant and unaware. And here's the thing. God left the PR up to us, didn't he? The public relations for Christ is you and I. And so sometimes we've got to have a good hard look at ourselves. And the question, I guess, is how's the world going about, in their ignorance, how are they going about quenching their thirst? And like I said, there's people sticking picks in their arms. There's young people that find their identity on social media. You know, and so they rise and fall with the number of likes they get and how many people respond to the stuff they're posting. And that's a pretty tricky place to be, isn't it? But we've, again, we keep coming back to this same thing. We've been given what it is we need. And one of the things I obviously work as a chaplain for the West Coast Eagles. And the thing that amazed me when I first started there 10 years ago, and still amazes me, it was the level of scrutiny, not just from the media and from outside looking into the club, the level of scrutiny that these guys are under for their performance, but even internally, every move they make. You know, we videotape every single training session. The Eagles record it and they review that and they watch parts of it with the boys. They watch their game. They're under immense pressure and they've got sometimes half a second to make a decision. And that decision, if it's the wrong one, it'll be analysed. And these guys, these young men that play AFL football, they've grown up, you know, in juniors they were probably the best, you know, under 10s or whatever, and the best of the best. And then the under 15s, they're still the best. And then finally under 18s, they get selected in the national draft and they get selected on an AFL team. But then there's 45 players on that list all trying to be the best so that they can be in the 22 every week. And then you can be in the 22 each week, but, you know, what if you're not playing at your best? And it can come down to just some numbers, right? Like, did you get enough kicks this week, enough handballs? And isn't it crazy to think that your whole life could be so boiled down to the performance you make in that moment? And so these guys can often suffer from a thing called performance anxiety, because if they get it right, the whole crowd cheers and adores them. But if they get it wrong, they just get, you know, they hear those, they go to bed, they can't sleep at night because they can hear, they play over and over in their heads the things they got wrong. And it's amazing to think that it's such a scrutinised thing and they're so concerned about their performance. But, you know, I just think that's a microcosm of the age we live in. All of us have to perform, don't we? We all perform in our jobs, we perform as parents, we think, am I doing a great job? Am I studying? Am I getting the grades? There's aspects of performance and keeping up and being good enough in all of our lives. You don't have to be an AFL footballer. But Jesus came along. And he brought this thing called grace and forgiveness. And he says, as you are, just as you are, you don't have to perform for me. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still broken and no good and in need of repair, Christ died for you and me. It's not, this Christian message is not a performance message. Is it? It's a message of grace. And everyone out there that's looking to fill themselves and their identity with their performance can come to the Jesus at the cross and he says, I will take you as you are. Isn't this such a great message? Isn't it the greatest thing? Everyone's so thirsty and we've got it. Psychologists say there's four big questions that people ask themselves. You reduce it down to where do I come from? Where am I going? But right in the middle there they say, who am I, right? And what am I doing? What is my purpose? Who am I and what am I here? And you know, the Word of God gives us those answers so beautifully. Who knows who knows what the longest passage in the Bible is? Anyone know what that is? Come on, it's in the Psalms. Yeah, I can hear a murmur. Psalm 119, that's right. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And does anyone, can you tell me what every single verse in that is about? It's about Yeah, it's about the Word of God. So the longest passage in Scripture is about the precepts, the commands, the laws of God, right? And how beautiful they are. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. The word of God is such an incredible thing. And God is a good father. We sang about that this morning. And he has given us his word not to restrict us, right? Not to limit us, but to give us life. True life. Life in all its fullness. And so if we take that thinking and go, okay, all of God's words are for me to have life. And blessing. They're not commands, do this or I'll smite you. They are to give us a way of living totally free, right? Life to the full. And we understand it. We go, well, take the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, right? One of the big ones. That's a great idea, isn't it? It's a good idea from God. Anyone thinking about killing anyone? It's probably not a good idea. All right, tough crowd. Maybe you are. But I would say, take the word of God and say, this is a great, and don't covet, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honour your parents. Those things that we might have life. Jesus came along in Matthew, and does anyone know what he said the greatest commandment is? He summed those 10 commandments up in two. What were they? Solemn, yep. Yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. And Jesus said to the scholar, he goes, the whole law and the prophet, everything hangs on these two commands. If I was to boil it all down and tell you how to live, it's right here in these two commands. But let's just retrace our steps. These aren't commands, do this and you'll please me. Jesus is giving us the answer to life. He's giving us the answer to humanity's question. Who am I? Identity, okay? So we're all struggling. That's the emptiness. We're all trying to fill. Who am I? You know how we find out who we are? When we love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, we discover our identity in him. When we stand in worship and say, good, good Father, we figure out, we find out who we are. We are children of God. Yeah? So he's just given us that answer right there in the scripture. And then he's given us, what is my purpose? How do I get fulfillment? Well, everyone's looking for that, aren't they? Love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest thing you can do with your life to find fulfillment and satisfaction is to live for others, to live out of yourself. That's right there in the Word of God. The ticket, the answer that everyone is looking for, Jesus has laid it out, and we have it. And yet there's so many thirsty people, like I said, people trying to find everything they can to get the answer to those questions. We've got it right here. How good is that? And you don't have to be, a perfect vessel. We are jars of clay, that the scripture says that. But there's in Romans 12, it says, live your life. Pour it out. Your life is a spiritual offering. Everything you do, you pour it out before God. And I'm just going to sing a song that's called My Hallelujah. And it's just pretty much, it's it doesn't matter what you've got, who you are. You can sing your song. My Hallelujah actually means praise the Lord, yeah? And all of us, God has given you all a way of living and a way of shining his love into this world, that it would bring him glory and bring him praise. There's a scripture I love. It's 1 Peter 4:10. It's like my life scripture. And it says, each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Whatever it is you do, serve and love others. Let that be your hallelujah, yeah?
Sometimes I wonder how I end. I'm still just a boy in these oversized shoes. And I've nothing to say that won't add to the noise. Enough has been said, and not much to give but a few simple truths. Old road goes much further than I do, but I'll keep stumbling on, leaning to your grace. 'Cause I wanna go home, I wanna lay down beside you, feel your sweet breath on the side of my face. And this is my soul, this is my hallelujah, and all that I want is to sing it for you. I know that it's broken, but it plays hallelujah.
Sing your hallelujah. Yeah, the world needs it. The world needs us, all of us, to be alive with the love of Christ, yeah? There's a couple I met about 9 or 10 years ago. Their names are Phil and Julie Hepworth. And Phil, they're an English couple that moved to Australia. And Phil was a retic guy. And he kind of served the Lord in England. He came over here and he just couldn't find a mission. And he got really down and depressed. And He just got on his knees every day before God, and he goes, God, what can I do? What can, you know, I'm looking for my hallelujah. I want to do something. I want my life to be poured out. And he heard this statistic at the time that every 15 seconds, a child in the world dies for lack of clean water. And he heard that, and it moved him, and he thought, you know, maybe I could do something about that. And very long story short, he contacted a guy who was in Africa, who was flying out of America, who had been drilling some wells there for a number of years. He was about to give it up, and Phil met this guy and flew to Africa, and he He started this charity called Water for Africa. And he's been working in Tanzania now, Uganda. And in the last 6 months alone, they've provided clean water for 500,000 people. And this is a guy that didn't know what he could do. And my wife goes to Tanzania every year. When they drill these wells in villages, it's the most simple thing. They drill a well. And when they put the water, they pump the water out, they stand at the well and they preach the gospel. And a few years ago, my wife, who's a nurse, she started leading these medical teams. And when they're in the town for a couple of days, it takes 2 or 3 days to install the ball and put the well in. And they run these medical clinics. And people just come along with all these sicknesses. And right there, under the shade of a tree, there's bringing new water, a new life. They are treating these people for their sickness, and often they're absolutely overawed by what they see. Sometimes these people need treatment, they can't help, they connect them with the hospitals. And even that, you know, they went to the hospital, one of the local hospitals, didn't even have clean water in the hospital. They put a well in the hospital. These people are just so far, you know, they're struggling. They can't to think of all that we have, and here's these people 6 hour flight away. And and Phil and Julie, Water for Africa is what I'm talking about. It's like what Jesus modeled when he went to this well. And what I love in John 4, this passage, this verse, when we look at the story, and especially in John's gospel, this progression of Jesus who came, you know, in John 1 it says he was the Word became flesh, and then he met the first disciples, and in John chapter 3 he dealt with Nicodemus, a religious. And here in chapter 4, Jesus gives us a model, a picture, a beautiful, beautiful picture of how we deal with the lost and the broken. This is the Son of God. The Word, you know, he bankrupted heaven and came to earth. And this woman who had 5 partners, she'd lived in adultery, she was a Samaritan who the Jews did not associate. They didn't speak to women in that time. Jesus was crossing every social line, every barrier that he could to say to this woman. He humbled himself and asked her for a drink. How's that for humility? And he gently spoke to her. And if you know the story, he went to a village, and her and a village, they got saved. And he's showing us how we are to go to the world. We go in complete and utter servitude and humility. We get down on our knees and we honor the people. And when Phil and Julie, when they were starting Water for Africa, Julie said, I had no idea. She's an English woman, moved to Australia, was working in Africa. She said, how do I treat these people? And she, I don't know if you've heard of Heidi Baker. She's been ministering in Africa for years. And she said to Heidi, what do we do? And she said, just honor the people. Just honor them. That's not rocket science, is it? The Bible, what does the Bible say? Honor one another above yourselves. And you know, if we, not all of us can go to Africa and drill wells and serve the people over there. But there are people in your street that are thirsty for living water. There's people in a cubicle next to you at work that is struggling, maybe in his marriage or her marriage or with their children, and they're thirsting for the identity that can only be given us when we realize who our Father in heaven is. And this picture, I love this picture. We're gonna sing a song in a minute. And it's of them drilling a well and people dancing around it. And this picture, it's like a metaphor for you and me and our lives in Christ. Because we have been filled up. My cup is full. The love of God, how good is God to us? And yet we're called to go into all the world, yeah? And take this love to where the people need it, which are beyond the walls of this building. And I was a pastor in a church for 10 years at a church called Riverview. And for the last 10 years, I've been serving as a chaplain in sports chaplaincy. And did you know right now, and just in sports chaplaincy alone, there's over 7,000 sporting clubs in Australia that have asked sports chaplains, Chaplaincy Australia, it's like an umbrella organisation. They said, would you give us a chaplain for our sporting club? Because we got people in our club that have got needs. They've got pastoral needs. They're hurting. Their family relationship breakdown. Johnny's doing drugs. He's trying to play footy. This guy's beating his wife up. There's stuff going on in our community. And sporting clubs are saying, give us a chaplain. Give us somebody that will come in and pastor and love these people. Right? At the moment, there's 500 to 600 sports chaplains in Australia. There's 7,000 clubs that have asked. There's 75,000 sporting clubs in Australia, right? And you might think, you know, oh, church, got to be a church, can't be involved in sport. That's exactly what the enemy would want us to do. These communities of people are open that we would go in and love them with the love of God. There's an opportunity for all of us to serve. And the statistics are that, you know, 2 to 3% of Australians attend church. 75% of Australians are involved in sport. It is the most phenomenal mission field. But we've actually got to be willing to go out and do what Jesus did and meet them at the well where they are. Yeah? We've got to. Don't get me wrong, I love being in church. But there's a greater mission and a greater vision, because if they're not going to come here, Jesus moderate. Jesus came to earth as a man, incarnate. Yeah, God incarnate. And we can go out into the world and be like these wells in this video. We're going to sing a couple more songs before we wrap up today. This one's called Lead Me to the Well. And as you watch this video and you see these people dancing and rejoicing, just consider your own life, where the community you're a part of, outside of the church community, where you could be that kind of living well for people, yeah? We're going to... I'm going to sing this. Let's go.
Give me wash my wounds, 'cause I've been bleeding. I want life worth living for. Lead me to the well that never runs dry. Fill me again from the fountain of life. Flood my heart until I'm satisfied. Lead me here to the well that never runs dry.
Did you see that picture? You see yourself, living water of God within you? Yeah? Come on. Come on. We've got to wake up and see that the harvest is white, the workers are few. And, you know, we come to church every week, we worship God, and we're reminded of who we are in Him. And we should leave here full of faith, not just to worship Him, but declare His love to the world, yeah? We're just going to finish up with one more song. This is called Believe. And this is just about, really, about knowing who you are in Christ and what you can do. This is the moment you've been living for. The unseen and the sacrifice is done. Everyone is waiting as you step into the light. Larger now than when you first begun. So don't hold back, give it everything. You are stronger, you can fly higher, you can reach further now than you ever dreamed. You are my hero, you will never let go, and you have made everyone who's watching you believe. There is a struggle in the path you've got to take, and the road ahead will always seem too far. But now's your time, it's your destiny to shine. So stand up tall and show them who you are. Make it count, 'cause you might only get one shot. 'Cause you are stronger, you can reach further now than you ever dreamed. You are my hero, you will never let go, you will make everyone who's watching you believe. Let's pray. Father, we believe. We believe today in you. We believe in what you've done on the cross. We believe in the freedom we have through Jesus Christ, his blood shed for us, and the good news of the gospel. We are saved through the name of Jesus, and we thank you. Father, we also believe you've given us something the world needs, Lord. You've given us identity. You've given us purpose through your word. And Father, you filled us with your Holy Spirit, the living water. And Lord, there is a thirsty, desperate, broken world. Our brothers and sisters who are lost, stumbling around in the darkness, trying to fill themselves with all the wrong stuff. Father, I pray, Sun Life Church, Lord, you would break our hearts Break our hearts for the community in Leaderville. Break our hearts for the wider people in Perth and across this nation. That you would move us, Lord. That we would go from here, Lord, in our days, our weeks, our months, our years. And Lord, we would take the living water of Christ, that they would know you and they would be set free. Father, fill us with faith. Fill us with expectation. Fill us with your truth and fill us with your love, that we would love as you have loved us. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you. You equip us to do that. This very thing. And we pray this all in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone who agreed this morning said, Amen.